And by God's grace, it was very successful. So I just would like to, you know, thank God, first of all, for last week's Soul In Sunday, but then also thank all of you who are part of making it a success, who played a role into the service, who played a hand into the service. Even those of you who came to church simply by coming, I'm sure there was a blessing for you last Sunday. Amen. So let's have a quick word of prayer before we begin. Father, I thank you for this time in your presence, Lord. Thank you for another Sunday, another opportunity to preach, another opportunity to gather. Lord, your word says that wherever two or three are gathered, you are there. Lord, as we are engaged into the church, as we've decided to serve you, as we've decided to try and get closer to you, Lord, I pray that you will continue to help us to find you, continue to help us to get closer to you, God. Open the door for us, Lord. Make it possible, make it realistic, God, that we can find you and get closer to you. Lord, I pray that you will use me during today's message, God. I pray, Lord, that you will use me, speak through me, God, to someone. Allow me to say one thing, Lord, one thing that would touch someone's life, that will help someone, God, with whatever challenge or difficulty they may be going through. Lord, I pray for anyone who may be going through a challenge or a difficulty or who may be facing some kind of anxiety, God. I pray, Lord, that you will cast down their anxiety, God, that you will touch them, God. You will give them a solution this week for any problem they may be going through. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will open a door for them, God. Give them a solution, Lord, for whatever issue or challenge they may be going through. Lord, I can sense that someone may be confused or someone may be going through a difficult situation and you don't know whether to choose A or B. Lord, I pray, God, that you will give them wisdom with the choice that they choose to make. I pray, Lord, that you will give them guidance and direction. Lord, your word says that man makes plans in his heart, but it is the Lord who orders his steps. God, I pray that you will order our steps into your perfect will, into the right direction, into the future that you have for us, Lord. We are thankful for everything you are doing and where you're going to take us, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, yeah, I just, you know, blessed to see everyone again after last week. I thought last week was a great time, great opportunity for our church to reach out and to find more people. So I want to encourage you, you know, to keep inviting people to church, keep finding people that want to come to church. You know what I mean? You know, I think one of the things that last week showed me was that there are a lot of people out there who want a church, right? Who want a virtual church. Yeah, I think we saw maybe a virtual church as something that we had to do because of our situation last year. But I think now the virtual church is also an advantage, right? You can be very effective and be very efficient in a virtual church. And you know, for those of you who maybe don't know, or those of you who maybe live in the Philadelphia, Delaware area, in the fall, we're going to be meeting in person. So if you would like to also engage with us in person, you know, I think that's exciting. But in the fall, we're going to be meeting in person. So if you'd like to engage with us in person, you know, there'll be more details about that coming up as well. Amen. One last thing I did want to say before we jump into today's short time of preaching. But we're having a game night coming up on May 21st. And I want to announce it publicly or formally to everyone. You know, it's a game night. It's a chance to just basically relax. We're going to play games and fellowship. So invite anyone you can think of, invite a family member, a friend, somebody that you go to school with, and somebody that you're close with, that you go to school with, anyone you can think of that would like that type of interaction. You know, it may also be an opportunity for people to kind of decompress. You know, we picked May 21st, it's right after finals, or it's a little bit after finals have ended. So it's an opportunity to relax, get your mind off of school and off of the semester. Please, everyone's invited. May 21st, I believe the time is 7 p.m so if the time is 7 p.m then yeah, May 21st at 7 p.m but we'll have more details and more confirmations. We also have an RSVP form, right? So we'll be sending the RSVP form out as well in the coming days. All right. So last week, you know, the message title was It was a message about why we need Jesus Christ. There was a short diversion from the series we had been on the weeks prior. So the weeks prior to last week's service, we have been studying the different types of things that serpents are masters of. And for those of you who don't know, you know, this year, the year 2021, our prophet, Bishop Dagherwood Mills, who's also the founder of this church, declared this year the year of being wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. And, you know, we've been studying throughout the course of the year, what does it mean to be wise as a serpent? And one of the things that it means to be wise as a serpent is you are masters of many things, right? So serpents are masters of many different things. If you have the book, Wise as a Serpent and Harmless as a Dove, if you have the book, Wise as a Serpent and Harmless as a Dove, you can quickly open to it if you have it in front of you. But if you have that book, you know, Bishop Dagherwood Mills goes through a tactical series of steps, right, that you can actually do to become masters of things that serpents are masters of. And what is a serpent, right? A serpent is a snake. But Bishop, you know, he goes through things like serpents are masters of non-dependent living. Yeah, and serpents are masters of not depending on people to live. Masters of inner power, masters of the power of the mouth, masters of maneuver, masters of contentment, masters of frugality, masters of speed, masters of operating by the senses, masters at being unpredictable. I mean, there's so much wisdom if you study the way serpents live their lives. And the week before last week, we studied this, the topic of masters. Serpents are masters of overcoming handicaps. And I gave us, you know, some handicaps that we must be able to overcome. But this week's title of this week's message, for those of you taking notes, is Masters of Survival. Right? So serpents are masters of survival. Serpents have the ability to survive any kind of situation, any type of challenge. They have the ability to survive. You know, unfortunately, many of us, we are only able to survive in good times. Yeah, we are only able to survive when it's like everything is going well for us. Everything is feeling okay. We are happy. That's when we're able to survive. But what does it mean to survive? So the definition of the word survive. To survive means to endure and to remain in existence in spite of circumstances. Yeah, I like the first part. To survive means to endure. Yeah, if you're going to survive, you must be able to endure. If you're going to be able to survive this life, you must be able to endure. Many people are only able to survive when everything is okay. Yeah, this week right now, I think, you know, we're in final season. Recently, one of my friends called me and told me that he's a guy, he's a nursing major. He's a senior nursing major, final semester, he's about to graduate. Calls me and tells me that he needs to get an 82 on a particular course. I'm sorry, he needs to get an 82 on the final. If he doesn't get the 82 on the final, he'll fail the class and he can't graduate. Mind you, graduation is in 2 weeks. And his family is expecting that in 2 weeks, we're coming to a graduation. And this guy has to get an 82. And I asked him, I mean, is an 82 even real? Because I was even scared for him. An 82, like, that's very high on a final exam. So I was asking him, like, is it even possible? Is the final cumulative? And he said, yeah, the final is cumulative. I mean, I was beginning to pray for him because he has to now come and survive this. He has to now come and find a way to survive this situation that he's in. And that's what the word, when we talk about masters of survival, you have to be able to endure hardships. Now, granted, maybe the situation he finds himself in may have been self-inflicted. And many times, some of the situations we find ourselves in are self-inflicted. The things many of us have to endure are things we've brought on ourselves. Yeah, and that's a lot of times is the challenge, is we put ourselves into a situation and then now we must endure it. You see, Paul said in the Bible, if you read, another definition of survival, it means to remain healthy, happy, and unaffected in spite of circumstances. Yeah, healthy, happy, and unaffected. I mean, if you need an 82 on your final to graduate and you get an 80.5, or an 81.5, how can you remain healthy, happy, and unaffected? I mean, it's quite stressful and quite disappointing. So to remain healthy, I mean, maybe you'll be healthy, but to remain happy and unaffected, it almost sounds unrealistic. Like I need an 82, I get an 81.5. It's quite stressful, but by God's grace, there's a way, and we're gonna learn it today, how you can survive, how you can remain unaffected in spite of any circumstance you're going through. If you read Philippians 4, verse 12, Philippians chapter 4, verse 12, Paul says here, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I mean, it's a verse. Yeah, this is one of actually my favorite verses of the whole Bible. And the reason why, I remember the first time I read this verse, I think I was in college. And see, when I was in college, I think me personally, I was a master of survival. I was broke many times in college, and I had to figure out a way, some strategy that I was going to eat. You know, I joke about it now with some of my friends. You know, if I didn't have money, let's say tomorrow's Monday, and let's say I had $20 today, it may not have been the wisest thing, unfortunately. But let's say I had 20, all I had to meet today, Sunday, was $20. I could go and say, you know what, today I'm going to spend the whole 20 on dinner. And then tomorrow, when Monday gets here, we'll deal with dinner tomorrow when tomorrow comes. And it's a type of survival, because you also don't know what you'll eat tomorrow when tomorrow gets here. But you're trying to figure out a way. And see, Paul is saying here, I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Yeah, like some of us, we have a challenge with just being content. Maybe things are not the best right now. Maybe you don't have everything you want or need right now, but you have to learn the ability to just be content in every situation. And you see, Paul says, I have learned. So it's something you must actually teach yourself. You see, and by God's grace today, we're going to teach ourselves how to be content in every situation and everything, whether good or bad. I mean, if you begin to read the verse, he says, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. Yeah, there's some times in your life you're going to be living in want. Like you're living in a season where you have many wants and things that you need. And then there's going to be times in your life where you are living in plenty. Yeah, and you have to believe by God's grace that you will have more times when you have plenty than when you have want. Say amen. You have to believe that there'll be more times in your life that you will be living in plenty than living in want. There's a season for want, and there's a lesson for living in the season of want. You see, when you are living in the season of want, one of the things that you must learn is how to be frugal, how to manage the little that you have. Yeah, one of the things that you must learn when you're living maybe in a season of want is how to manage little resources. The Bible says, he that is faithful with little shall be given more. It's like when you have little, when you have $50 and today's Sunday and you need to buy gas and you need to feed yourself for the next 5 days, you need to now manage, how will you buy gas? How will you manage the dinner from now until Friday when you get paid? It's also a type of survival. And there are people out there who have mastered that. There are people out there who have mastered that. They would take the 50, break up the 50, 10 for gas, 40 for food. This is going to this. This is for personal hygiene. And it's just $50 that they have. But they've managed to break it up and to make it in such a way that it will carry them and it will last them. So they have the ability to live and to be content. I pray that, you know, we in our generation, I think one of the problems and challenges we have is we have an issue with being content. Many of us have a challenge being happy with just what we have. Like we're always looking at what someone has, always looking at the next thing. We're always looking at, oh, well, this person has this, or this person has this. And I pray that, you know, as we are learning some of these things today, we will become people who don't just look. Yeah, we'll learn to be happy with what we have. We'll learn to have a need. You know, Paul says, I know what it is to be in need. Like he knew what it was like to stay in a need. I pray that some of us will learn, or all of us will learn, what it's like to actually have a need. But then in the same time, while you have a need, you also know how to be content in every situation. And I want to encourage us, and I want to keep us on that path. So Paul is saying all these things. Now, the thing is, can you handle what Paul survived, right? Today, we're going to study some of the things that Paul survived and how they relate to our lives and how to compare them to ourselves. So number one, you must survive in spite of restrictions or imprisonments. Yeah, some of us have many restrictions in terms of surviving. We We have restrictions when it comes to school. We have restrictions when it comes to church. We have restrictions when it comes to work. But you must be able to survive in spite of all of those things. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23, please. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. The Bible says, and they servants of Christ. And you know, the song Jody sung today said, I want to be a strong Christian serving the Lord in all the days of my, serving the Lord in all the days of my life, I believe. But you have to have a desire to be a strong Christian. You have to have a desire to be a servant of Christ. And I'll explain a little bit, but it says, are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I have worked much harder. This is Paul still speaking. He says, I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. Paul was saying, are you really a servant? Are you really a servant of Christ if you haven't gone through some of these things? Are you really calling yourself a Christian, calling yourself somebody who's working for God if you haven't gone through some of these things? And you see, many of us have restrictions on our time. Yeah, I feel like our time is sometimes our biggest restriction. And a lot of time, it's because of, poor time management. Yeah, many people, I've heard it many, many times, many people choose what they want to prioritize. Like, church is lower on your priority list. That's why you don't come to Midweek Center. Or that's why you don't come to when we have an event like game night. That's why you won't come. Even as I've announced it, maybe you've already in your head said, I'm not coming. Mercy. But you see, many of us, it's poor time management. We pick and choose what we want to prioritize. Because when that boy calls or when that girl calls, you can prioritize spending time on the phone with them. Maybe for 6 hours. I don't remember where I was at, but I heard someone say that the average person spends 6 hours on the phone with their significant other every day. 6 hours, nonstop. Six hours. You know what you can accomplish in 6 hours? That you spent the entire time on the phone with someone. I'm not saying you shouldn't talk on the phone, please. What I'm saying is 6 hours is a lot of time. But you see, people prioritize what they want to prioritize, and people choose to neglect what they want to neglect. So don't place imprisonments on your time that maybe are not true imprisonments. Yeah, some of us, by God's grace, we have parents who allow us to be in church and allow us to do things for church freely. Some people's parents will not allow them to be a shepherd, be a pastor. It wouldn't happen in church. Yeah, one thing I always thank my parents for is they always pushed me in church. You see, I didn't come from a family of people who maybe was very spiritual, church every Sunday. I remember when I was younger in church, we were the family that maybe if the church was doing a play or something in church, and I was a part of the play, some of the Sunday school teachers, they would tell me, oh, Dylan, I know next week you're not going to come to church. So next week when you're home, you just practice. Almost as if it was an assumption that as for Dylan and his family, they come every other Sunday. So if we're giving Dylan play lines to rehearse, he should rehearse them this Sunday. And next week, let's remind him that he should rehearse them at home. Now that I'm an adult, I know it was very some way. But see, they were right. There's a very good chance that next week we may not come. Yeah, but you see, my parents never restricted me from serving God or being fully in the church. Some people, their parents actually tell them, I don't want you to do this church thing. I don't want you to become too involved in the church. And it's a restriction. So you must be able to survive some of those things. You must be able to survive that. Revelations 2, 10 to 11. Revelations 2, 10 to 11. It says that, do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Wow, verse 11. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death. If we can go back to verse 10, please. So verse 10, it says that, do not be afraid for what you are about to suffer. I want to encourage us that as we've decided to become strong Christians, and I'm believing that, we all want to be strong Christians, as we have decided to begin the journey of becoming a strong Christian, as we have decided to begin the journey of maybe trying to get to know God better, Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. Like, we are all about to suffer something. Do not be afraid of that, because there's a crown at the end of your suffering. There's a benefit at the end of your suffering. When you take a decision to become a Christian, when you take a decision to begin the race of being a Christian, you must stay faithful until the end. Don't get me wrong. You may have some times where you fall off the road, or you may have times where maybe you backslide, or maybe times when you completely give up, but you must continue. That's why Paul described it in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, please. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Paul described your Christian life as a fight. Yeah. If we have 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, Paul describes it as a fight. Paul says, I have fought the good fight of faith. Like, he says, yes, he says, I have fought the good fight. Like, being a Christian is a fight. How many of us sometimes feel like we are in a fight? Like, sometimes it's like you are in a fight, even with your flesh. Maybe it's like your spirit and flesh are battling. Like, you want to pray, but then you are feeling like you also want to watch Netflix. Is it a bad thing to watch Netflix? No, it's not a bad thing to watch Netflix. But then you also know that you need to pray. Maybe you haven't talked to God in 3 days. It's been 3 days you haven't prayed. 3 days you haven't read your Bible, but you just want to chillax and watch Netflix. Is it bad? It's not bad. But you have to pray. You have to fight the good fight of faith. And Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Yeah, I've kept the faith. Many of us, unfortunately, many Christians lose the faith. Maybe they begin. They are interested in Christianity. They want to get close to God. They want to learn about God. They want to develop their relationship, their personal quiet time. I mean, all of these things. As time goes on, you see that they lose the faith. Things happen in their life. You know, yesterday, I had the opportunity to speak with someone about Christianity and about their faith. And I realized, as I was talking to the guy, so many things have happened in his life that have hurt him in a certain way that now he is struggling to keep the faith. It's not that, like, he's a bad person or something. But when things happen again and again and again, and you have to be able to survive those things, when you have maybe a family member that passes away, and then another family member that passes away shortly after, it's like again and again, people are being affected. And then you begin to question yourself. I mean, why is God allowing all this to happen? You begin to ask yourself, why? And see, I always think when you hear someone ask the question, why is God allowing this to happen? It's a valid question. Never think it's not a valid question, because in the Bible, again and again, people would ask God, why are you allowing? It's a valid question to ask God, or maybe to seek from God, why has this happened? It's a relationship nonetheless. So you can ask God, you know, why has this happened? I know it's your will, but why? You can be sad. Don't think that because you are a Christian, you have to be emotionless. It's like you are just in it, like, oh, I just have blinders on. But always remember the reason why you became a Christian. Yeah, keep the faith. I want to encourage us to keep the faith until the end. The Bible says, now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Amen. You know, there's a crown for keeping the faith. There's a crown for staying a Christian. There's a crown for staying a believer. There's a crown for surviving this life. Yeah, this life. There's a crown for surviving this experience, you know, while we are here. There's a crown for that. And I want to encourage us to survive the restrictions that we have. Be able to survive it. You know, recently I was talking to someone, and it's a girl in our church. She has a new beloved. And she was asking me, you know, she's new to the church. So you see, in our church, we teach certain things about dating, right? Such as maybe you shouldn't fly. Maybe you shouldn't take an overseas trip with them, or you shouldn't go. Maybe you shouldn't take a trip and you are in a hotel with them for 4, 5, 6 days at a time. So we teach some things like that in our church, and she's new. So she was asking me, how do I survive some of those things? Like, how do I actually survive some of those things? And I had an answer in my head, but I couldn't easily say my answer that I had in my head, because I realized that maybe I had felt as though that some of those answers I had heard in the past were a bit maybe corny or a bit not that nice to hear. But honestly speaking, the answer I had for her was, oh, you should get married quickly. And when I heard it, I was like, that's really the only answer I can give you, because she was complaining a lot about, you know, it seems like we can't do this, we can't do this, can't do this, you can't do this. I mean, it was a lot of headache. She even at one point told me that if she flies to go see him, where in the state that he's in, she flies to go see him, there has to be a third person with them wherever they go. And I was like, wow, it's very serious. I mean, it's very aggressive. Yeah. Amen. So the next one is, you must survive in spite of your tiredness. Yeah. How many of us sometimes feel tired? Maybe you studied all night and you feel tired. Maybe right now, as you are in church, you are tired. Maybe you've worked, you are tired. Yeah, you must be able to survive working for God. You must be able to survive this life, even in spite of your tiredness. I know my friend who is studying for his final that must get an 82. I know right now he's tired as he's in church. If you read 2 Corinthians 11, verse 27, the Bible says, I have labored and toiled and have gone without sleep. Yeah, how many of us have labored and toiled before for God? How many of us before have done things for God before that make us tired? And see, that's why sometimes it's important to be close with certain pastors or certain men of God. You know, I didn't really understand what it meant to be tired for God until I got close to my pastor. I began to see him. We'll have one church service Sunday morning at 12 in the afternoon. And then when we finish, we'll have another one at Temple University at 4 p.m. We may not, and then after Temple, you may do visitation. After all of that, we may not get home until 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock is when he's getting home on Sunday. You see, but it's like he's tired for God, like he's worked for God on this Sunday. And I think that's what we must also do, you know, as church workers. I see all of you guys as church workers, and you should say amen to that, that God will make you into a church worker. But, you know, as you are a church worker, you must believe that you have to be tired for God sometimes. Don't always think that everything will just be given to you. Everything will just be easy. Everything will just become. No, sometimes you have to be tired for God. Have you prayed all night? You know, we have flow prayer meetings every week with our prophet, Bishop Dag Heward Mills. How many of us have prayed through the entire flow prayer meeting before? You know, all of those things are examples of things that make us tired, right? But we have to push through them. Paul says, I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked before. So I want to encourage us, push through your tiredness. Push through it. It's a good thing to come to church when you are tired. When you are tired on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. and you've worked all day and you just got home and you see a text message on your phone about center meeting tonight at 8. It's a good thing to push through your tiredness and come to center, to be committed to center, because the things we are committed to, you see that we find a way to do them. Yeah, some people are very committed to the gym. Whether they are tired, whether they are sick, they will be, I mean, it's like they will go to the gym. And we must also have the same mind. And I'm also speaking to myself. Yeah, some people, whatever they are committed to, they make time for. They make an opportunity to accomplish that thing in their day. So if once a week, we are just asking you once a week for 1 hour to press a link to come to a center meeting and to come and fellowship with other Christians, it shouldn't be a hassle for you because of all the other commitments you fulfill during the week. Amen. And in Galatians 6, verse 9, please, as we quickly move, Galatians 6, verse 9, the Bible says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Amen. So don't become tired of doing good. Don't become tired of doing spiritual things. Amen. And then the next reason or the next thing that we must survive is we must survive in spite of underdevelopment. Yeah, most of us are underdeveloped, including myself. Most of us are underdeveloped to even be running a church. I mean, can you imagine we have been given a church and we are running a church on a Sunday morning? And I even think about it, like I can't even believe it actually, that on a Sunday afternoon, I'm coming to preach to people. I mean, it's a lot, but most of us are underdeveloped, but we must overcome that quickly. Yeah, because you see, there are some things that people are very developed in. Yeah, there are some areas, and you know what areas I'm talking about, that some people are very developed in. Some people are very strong in those areas. But see, if you're very strong in those areas, don't use maybe your age or your youthfulness or the fact that we're young as an excuse not to be strong in church or to think, well, you know, maybe I'm only 21 or I'm only 22. So I have time. I have time to develop in my Christian walk. I have time to get serious with God. Right now, it's okay for me to just play around. No, the time to get serious with God is now. Yeah, the time to do something for God is now. Don't assume that you have. See, one of the unfortunate things many of us make is that we assume that we'll be old. God willing, by God's grace, we'll all live a long life. Say amen. But we assume that we'll all reach 80 and 90 years old. But it's not the truth. There are many people who die when they are 50, die when they are 55, 60. You know, like recently I saw, I'm sure most of us heard, DMX passed away at 50. When I saw that he passed away, and I saw that he passed away at 50, I mean, I thought to myself, like, wow, 50, that's it. All you get is 50 years. 50 years, that's all you get. And then you are gone. So you see, if you don't take the time, and that's even if we assume that you get 50, maybe some people only have 42. Some people may only have 43, or some people may only have 48 or 37. So if you assume that you have all this time and you play around and you joke around with your relationship with Christ and you play around with working for God and you play around with God and with church for a long time in your youth, and you play around with God like that, it's a challenge. And, you know, this is something I also hear many times. This is something I've also seen many times. You know, I just recently turned 25. And something I've also seen recently is that a lot of people who are my friends, who maybe are a little bit older than me, maybe they're 27, 28, maybe even 29. One of the things a lot of them say is they wish they could go back. And they always say they wish they could go back into their earlier 20s and do more. Like maybe they should have done more in school. Or maybe they should have. I have a friend, she actually just turned 30. And she was telling me that, you know, she wishes that she had taken some guys serious in her earlier, like she was one of those girls, and I hope we don't have any of them here in our church today, but she was one of those girls, every time a guy wants to talk to them, it's like curve. You curve him and you curve him, then you curve him and you curve him. I mean, you're just curving left. Now she's 30. And you see, now she's telling me that she wishes that maybe she had been more open. Yeah, that she wishes she could go back. And many of us, we take our youth as like, I have so much time. I have so much time to do this and to do that. But the time goes very fast. Yeah, the time flies by. So I want to encourage us, you know, if you're in this church this afternoon and you want to have a relationship with Christ, it's a very good church to be in for that. And I want to encourage you to use the church. Use the church to get close to God. Use the church, use the resources, use the preaching, use the messages, use the books, use the things of the church to get close with God. And I believe that you'll be blessed for it. Don't assume that you'll have all this time and you are slow about it. You must be able to serve God despite of being underdeveloped. You know, one of the people I look at and I think of a lot of times when I think of developing quickly is Jody, for example. You know, some time ago, a few weeks ago, we have a center meeting on Wednesday nights. We had two center meetings. So we had another center meeting that was happening on Thursday nights, and Jody was leading it. And she was preaching every week there. And even if the preaching wasn't nice, or even if she didn't feel like the preaching was working, it was the fact that she was committed to it. And see, there's something to be said for having a responsibility that every Thursday, I'm preaching at this time, so I have to prepare. Like that responsibility alone develops you quickly. And you see, it was a blessing to her, even if it was a short experience. Feeling that responsibility, you see, is something that will be a blessing to her. It's an experience that later on in life she'll call on. Like it won't feel new to her anymore. Like it won't be the first time, you see. The next center that she leads, it won't be the first time that she's doing it. She'll have something to call on and to remember. So I want us to overcome maybe feeling underdeveloped and feeling like we haven't done much. If you read Acts chapter 9 and verse 1, Paul, the Apostle Paul, that, you know, we are using all his verses. I'm going to skip around here. But Paul was someone who was actually a murderer of Christians. Like he was someone who actually killed Christians for a living. That's what he did for fun. And God called him and used him. And if you read the story of him being called in Acts chapter 9, because of the sake of time, we may not read everything, but chapter 9 verse 1 says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. Like, he was speaking out the threats. He went to the high priest, verse 2, please, and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there whom belonged to the way, okay, verse 3. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light fell from heaven, flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" This was God speaking to him. Verse 5. "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go to the city, and you will be told what to do." Sometimes, like, the person who will tell you what to do may not even be God himself. If you read verse 10. Yeah, "In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered." Verse 11. "The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on the straight street and ask for a man from Tyrus named Saul, for he is praying." Yeah, God spoke to a man to speak to Saul. So you see, today, I remember Elizabeth was leading us in prayer. She read a verse from Philippians. Today, we read verses from 2 Corinthians, Philippians, Galatians. All these verses were written by this person who was killing Christians and then later was called. And the person who called him was one of the disciples. If you go back to verse 10, the person who called him was one of the disciples named Ananias. Like God had spoken to Ananias. So you see, sometimes some of you, I may ask you to do something in church, or I may ask you to begin to do something new. And the fact that I'm asking you, and maybe you feel like you're not ready, or you feel like it's new for you. I remember the first time I was asked to lead prayer in church, like hold the mic and lead. I was so nervous. But for some of us, I'm going to be the person to ask you to do something. And you shouldn't see it as, oh, it's Dylan asking me, or maybe it's Elder Dylan asking me. You should see it as God is the one who's asking me. Like, God is using him to ask him, because someday when you get to heaven, God will tell you, oh, I wanted to give you an opportunity to do this in church. I wanted to increase you in church, increase you in your life by giving you this platform. And I had used Dylan to come and speak to you, but you didn't mind him. You turned him away, unfortunately. So then he moved to the next person. Yeah. Verse 13, please. Verse 13. So you see, respond to things quickly. Yeah, respond to the call quickly. If I ask you to do something in church, you should respond quickly. Like, you shouldn't miss out on that opportunity, because it's something. It's a door that's being opened for you. "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all of the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem." Next verse. "And he has come here with authority from chief priests to arrest all who call your name." Next verse, please. "But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel." Wow. God had chosen somebody who was a murderer, who murdered Christians. Yeah, the Bible says that and in verse 1 in Acts 9, 1, it says that Ananias was still breathing out threats. So you see, despite your past, despite what you may have done, you see, when God has a plan for you, when God wants to use you, he will use you. The same person who was killing Christians, God is describing him in verse 15 as, this man is my chosen instrument. Wow. God is saying, the person who was killing Christians is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their king. So you see, the Gentiles were people who were not believers. So you see, people who, maybe sometimes we feel like we have such a bad past, or we feel like maybe we're not perfect, or we feel like I've done this in my past. How can God use me? Or I've told this lie, and I lied to this pastor before, and I did this with this girl, or I did this with this. I mean, you shouldn't think that way, because someone who was actually murdering Christians for fun, God described him as my chosen instrument. Wow, it's a blessing. And then verse 19. So now that Paul has been called, now that Paul's accepted it. Verse 19, he says that, "And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul, who later became Paul," that was his name before he was called, was Saul. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus, verse 20. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. After a few days of being called. So you see, respond quickly. That's the whole point of this story, is to respond quickly. Respond quickly to an opportunity to work for God. Respond, all of everyone that you see right now on video, Jody, Patricia, Elizabeth, they've all responded quickly. Yeah, like it was a one-time ask and they responded quickly and they are being blessed for it. And you must also decide in your heart that if you are given an opportunity to do something in church, even something as small as you may think, I don't know what you see as small in church, but whatever you deem to be small in church and you are given that opportunity, respond quickly to it. Don't take anything, any opportunity to work for God for granted, right? So you must be able to survive being underdeveloped, right? Survive. How do you survive being underdeveloped? You survive being underdeveloped by responding quickly to opportunities, amen. And then lastly, as we close, you must survive in spite of disloyalty. Yeah, you must survive in spite of disloyalty. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 26. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 26. You must survive in spite of disloyalty. Now see, this topic of disloyalty, I'm not going to stay here long, but I'm sure many of us saw this week, you know, a lot of videos, a lot of flyers, a lot of news articles flying around about the church and about maybe some people's experience in the church as full-time missionaries and some people's experience in the church working with Prophet Bishop Dag Heward Mills. And you see, one of the reasons why some of these missionaries, some of these former bishops of the church may be having this experience, right? It's not just necessarily linked to disloyalty, but it's the reaction to something. It's the reaction or the way they are choosing to think about something, which breeds disloyalty, unfortunately. Yeah, many times your reaction to things or the way you're thinking about something is how relationships spoil. All of these things we've seen this week going around about our church are as a result of the way someone was thinking about something. Yeah, so the way people were choosing to think about something has spoiled relationships. And see, that's how many relationships spoil. Many relationships spoil because of the way you're choosing to think about something. Yeah, like it's like maybe you're married or maybe you're in a relationship and you're a guy and you choose to think that, oh, my wife, my beloved, maybe she doesn't respect me. And then you not only think it, but then you believe it and you accept it in your heart. And then now it changes how you treat her because you believe that she doesn't respect you. Like that's your thought. That's what the Bible says, casting down all imaginations that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And one of the things I realized this week when I was watching some of these videos going back and forth was some of these men of God, some of these former bishops in our church, you know, they knew the knowledge of God. Like they knew that some thoughts were exalting itself against it. But unfortunately, they were not able to cast it down. And you must pray that you can cast yours down. Yeah, never look at things like that and take it as an opportunity to say, oh, it'll never be me. Just pray that it won't be you. Yeah, just pray that you won't find yourself being hurt or being offended and you take things the wrong way. Or you take things as an opportunity to bash the person who blessed you, the person who gave you an opportunity, maybe the person who gave you a platform. Yeah, just pray that it will never be you. I saw some people saying that this week that, oh, it'll never be me, it'll never be me. But you never know. Because there was a time when these bishops, they didn't think it would be them. But unfortunately, life and hurt and offense happens. And how we choose to react to being offended is going to affect many relationships. You know, as you are with me in this church, I may offend you. Yeah, and when I offend you, how you choose to respond to it will determine the future of our relationship. I wanted to say that briefly, but you must survive in despite of disloyalty. And one thing I've noticed about our prophet is he's really surviving. Like he's really surviving. I mean, if I was to be honest, I know I'm maybe not the only one. I thought he would say something about all the news. This morning when I joined Flow Unity, I thought he'll make a comment. On Thursday night when we had flow prayers, I was thinking, oh, is he going to say something? Nothing. he's surviving in despite of being around a lot of attacks, a lot of disloyalty. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11:26, as we close, I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, like in danger from my fellow bishops. Imagine, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. Yeah, but despite all of these dangers, you must be able to survive. You must be able to survive all of these things. And I just want to leave us with, if we are going to survive disloyalty, the way to respond to disloyalty is by controlling our imaginations, controlling our thoughts, bringing down the thoughts that we know this is not a good thought. There's some thoughts you shouldn't allow to have. You know, if you're in a relationship with someone, some thoughts can come. And if you entertain the thought, and if you dwell on the thought, and if you stay on the thought, no, it will ruin things. I've seen people say many times, I'm just an overthinker, and this is how you have to deal with me. No, if you are an overthinker, you have to control it. Yeah, overthinking is not something that's on the responsibility of the other person to control, because I'm not in your mind. It's on you to control your overthinking. It's on you to pull it together. It's on you to acknowledge to yourself, you know what, I'm overthinking, let me relax. It's not on the person. How can someone else control you overthinking? I mean, actually say it out loud to yourself and see if it makes sense. Amen. So as we are closing, let's just have a quick word of prayer. No, pray for yourself, right? Pray that you'll actually be able to become someone who can master surviving different things. Just touch your heart, place your hand over your heart, and pray for yourself for a few moments that you'll actually be able to overcome the things that bring you down. Pray for yourself that you'll become a master of surviving in despite of what? Restrictions. In despite of tiredness, in despite of being underdeveloped, and lastly, in despite of disloyalty, pray for yourself. Father, I pray for each and every person who's joined us today in church. Lord, I pray for our hearts, God, and I pray for our minds. I pray for the things that we think about, God, but we do not say. I pray, God, that we will bring those things down, God, that any thought, God, that comes against the knowledge of you, any thought that comes against doing what we are supposed to be doing for you, help us to control it, God. May we never forget the opportunities you've given us in our Christian walk. God, I pray for anyone who is striving to come closer to you. May they be able to survive their flesh, the flesh that doesn't want them to pray, the flesh that doesn't want them to read their Bible, maybe even the flesh that doesn't want them to come to church, God. I pray, Father God, that you will allow them to be able to survive their flesh, allow them to be able to survive their mind, allow them to be able to survive being underdeveloped, God. I pray, God, that we will be able to respond quickly to the call. I pray, God, that when we receive an opportunity, we would jump on it. That when we receive an opportunity in church, but when we receive an opportunity to work for you, to serve you, God, that we will take advantage, that we will take full advantage of each and every opportunity that we have gotten from you, God. I pray that you'll continue to keep us, continue to help us, Lord. I pray, God, that you will restore anyone who's had something taken from them because they couldn't survive. I pray, God, that because they couldn't survive, God, whatever was taken, may you return it back to them, God. May you give it back to them again hundredfold. May they become restored, refreshed, and renewed, Lord, because they are still keeping the fight, Lord. And the end of the journey, may we be able to say, God, that we have fought the good fight. May we be able to say that we have kept the faith, God. I pray, God, for each and every person who's come to church today, Lord, that you will help us to keep the faith. Help us to remember you, God. Help us to not lose the faith. Help us to not forget the faith through offenses. Maybe after some years have gone by, Lord, may we not be able to say that, oh, I used to be a Christian, or I used to be in church, or I used to work for the Lord. May we not say I used to, God, but may we say that we still are. Lord, I thank you for what you are doing in our lives. I thank you, Lord, for where you are taking us, Lord. Lord, your word says that you have plans for us, plans for a hope and plans for a future, God. I pray for anyone who maybe is not able to see clearly their future right now, or maybe someone who cannot clearly see what your plans are for them right now, God. I pray, Lord, that you will open a door for them, that you will make it more clear for them, God, that as they are continuing to take each day by day and put one foot in front of the other, Lord, I pray, God, that you will make the path you have for them more clear. I thank you, Lord, for what you are doing and where you are going to take us, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. So, amen. So at this time, I believe we are going to welcome our wonderful Madam X to come and bless us and come and give us our announcement. So I think we're all good. Thank you, everyone, once again, for attending church today, for coming to First Love Church Delaware. So at this time, I want to welcome our Madam X. So let's please make some noise. Let me feel your excitement for Madam X.
Amen. Amen. What a powerful message. All right. As for bowing,
we will bow.
As for bowing, hello people.
We will bow.
And a bow too late
is a bow in vain.
And a bow too late
is a bow in vain.
Okay, so for announcements for today, please join us this coming Tuesday at 8 p.m. for our impartation service with our very own Bishop. Bishop Henry, make some noise. Woo! And make some noise for our elder too as he preached today. Woo!
Amen.
Okay. Amen. All right. And then this coming Wednesday as well, and every Wednesday, we have our center meeting, our FLC Philly Center meeting at 8 p.m. Eastern time. Remember, 8 p.m. Eastern, not Pacific. Don't miss out, okay? This Wednesday. And then please subscribe to our very own prophet, Bishop Dag Heward Mills. Come on, make some noise for Bishop Dag Heward Mills. Yes, you can listen to his messages if you subscribe to him on Apple Podcasts and even on Spotify. And to do that, just search Dag Heward Mills. And then, of course, we can't forget Delaware. Subscribe to our own podcast on FLC. Just look up FLC Delaware on Spotify and Apple Podcasts as well. And my favorite part, we have a new ministry. Make some noise. Yes, we have a new ministry. We have so many ministries, but we have a new one called Flow Flashback Stars, where we are looking for people to give a summary of each Sunday of the message from the Flow service that was preached. I hope you guys are tuning into Flow. Like, it's important now. It's very powerful. So we're looking for people who want to give a summary of what they learned each and every Sunday from our very own prophet, Bishop Dag Heward Mills. And if you're interested, just contact our very wonderful elder, Elder Dylan, and he will give you more information on how to do so. Okay. And then last but not least, Elder Dylan said this earlier, but yes, we are having a game night. Make some noise for game night if you're excited. Okay. You guys better be excited because it's going to be so much fun. Yes, it's on Zoom. Yes, be there. Bring your friends, your family. You got a long lost sister you don't know, bring them. You have a little boyfriend that you're hiding, you know, bring him.
Come on.
So that can
Come
be
on.
Your first date or whatever. But yes, we're having a game night and it's going to be so much fun. It's on May 21st. It's at 7 p.m. Eastern. So it's not too late. Don't tell me you were sleeping because it's at 7 o'clock, okay? All right. And we're going to have so much fun. We're going to play games. We're going to get lit, have fun. Okay. All right. And that is it for today. That's it for the announcements. And everyone, unmute your microphone so we can share the grace. Okay. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And now, may the
grace
of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion, the fellowship, the communion, the spirit of the Holy Spirit, the 25 hours of my life, which includes all of my life, and the first love of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Many are called, but few are chosen. And as always, it is time for the grace dance. You know, feel free to do whatever you want. Even if you can't dance, it doesn't matter. Dance for Jesus, okay? He gave you legs. He gave you arms. Just do something, all right? As we dance into our new week. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.